Okay, here we go. This week, I ran into a fella and his son on July 4th. I was going up to Bilo, was going to go up there with the intention of getting some ribs to cook, but ended up leaving with ribs that were already cooked because I had a bit of a lazy streak in me. And saw a person, his name's Mr. Holcomb. I can't remember his first name. Him and his son. And they run the town pool up here. He's an amazing man. Just humble and a true Christian. We talked for about 15 or 20 minutes. I had met him a couple years ago, and some of you may remember this, when the church rented out the pool for a couple hours. And we had hot dogs and popsicles and drinks, and we were using it to meet some of the youth in the area. And he has a history of military service. And we were talking about purpose and gifts, and when he got out of the military, he had his choice of different careers. He didn't say it, but just what I know about his background, he had the choice of several different careers. He prayed to God to give him a passion. His passion led him here to Honey Pass, South Carolina, in this little school, in this little pool. And while I was just sitting there thinking, how many kids has this man touched with a positive example, a positive male example? Just maybe a couple hours a week or a few hours a week. And it's not really by what he says, but it's how he carries himself and what he does. And I told him that, and he just shrugged it off with a profound humility. I had another experience later on this week where I had a friend of mine up for supper. And we've been friends forever, almost all my life. And after supper, he brought up his tools to fix a shutter for us. And your pastor can fix supper, but that's it. I have no other skills. And as we were talking, I was just amazed by the things that were coming to his mind. That, okay, I need to try this, and then I'll try this, and try this. And it was just really that mechanical knowledge was just amazing to me because my mind doesn't work like that. And he gave the credit for that knowledge to God. That God put him where he could learn and where he could use that. And both these men, I saw spiritual gifts being used on the exterior to help people. Whether it's during the summer to help children and be a good example for them, or whether it's to keep your buddy who can butterfly a chicken to keep from butterflying his hand by using a power tool. And I could sense an inner peace, though, in both these men. And I believe there's an internal effect from using the spiritual gifts that God has given us through the Holy Spirit. I looked around for different definitions of spiritual gifts, and I really liked this one. It just really seemed to fit. That spiritual gift is a God-given ability that enables a believer to effectively serve the body of Christ. By the body of Christ, some people assume that's just a church. I think he goes wider than that. I think there's an entire network of believers out there. And it may be inside church walls or it may be outside, but I think that all of us can be used. And all of us have these abilities that sometimes we just don't tap into. They're not ours. Every part of that definition is really important. Spiritual gifts are God-given. You don't earn it. You can't apply for it. In Ephesians 4:7, Paul talks about receiving our spiritual gifts because it's not anything we get. It's not anything that we can earn or apply or a natural talent. Spiritual gifts is an ability, which means it qualifies you for you to do something you shouldn't otherwise be able to do. Therefore, believers only. And that's how they're different than natural talents. That there are things that you couldn't do by yourself, but with the Holy Spirit you can. And they're given to you to effectively serve in the body of Christ. And scripture we're looking at comes from Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul was, the books of the Corinthians were letters written by Paul to the church in Corinth, Greece. And Corinth was in an unusual part of Greece that it was kind of like a crossing road. At that time, Greece was part of the Roman Empire, so you had a mix of Romans and Greeks and then Near Eastern people all there. And this church sprung up out of it. Chapter 12 was Paul's discussion of spiritual gifts. Some people in the church had started speaking in tongues. And if any of you have ever gone to Church of God of Prophecies, Pentecostal Holiness, you may have seen this at some point in time. And they kind of got a big head about it. That they were, okay, well, we can do this, so we're at a different level than you. And Paul wrote chapter 12 to try and straighten out a few things and clarify a few things about spiritual gifts. And the first, we're looking from verses 4 to 26. It covers some of the things we've already covered. There are different types of gifts and there are a variety of effects, but it all comes from the Holy Spirit. Does everybody get a spiritual gift? There might be some of y'all thinking, I don't have anything. I don't have a thing I can use to help other people. Wrong. You can help other people. Spiritual gifts are grace gifts. Things that we don't deserve. We don't earn them. They're given to us. And they're manifested in the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And they're given to each of us. And we can say without the slightest doubt that every believer has one. Whether they use it or not, they have it. If you're a Christian, you have some type of spiritual gift, probably multiples. Paul wrote about this in Romans, 1 Corinthians, and Ephesians. That's how powerful he felt about believers using what they've been given by the Holy Spirit. And the reason why we have these spiritual gifts is so we can strengthen other people's faith. That's one of the reasons. If someone's faith is in jeopardy, they're in danger. They're in spiritual danger, and it can lead to physical danger. How can you help them? If that person is helped by what you say or do, you've discovered a spiritual gift that you have. And if you think about it, what if we used our gifts, and you don't have to help an entire town. You don't have to help an entire church. But what if each one of us just helped someone, one person that was struggling in their faith, struggling with sickness, with doubt. If one person helped one other person, wouldn't this be a better world? Have you ever had your faith propped up by one person saying one thing? I have. I'll remember it as plain as could be. I was over getting my oil changed over in Princeton, back at the old Exxon station. Shane, I think you were with me. And if you could have a bad month, oh my gosh. It was the job I was working at. I wasn't getting any hours. I was dead broke. The car was overdue for oil change, which Daddy let me know about. And we go over there, and this man comes out. He owned the place, and he sat down beside Shane and I. It was cold, and he talked about hard times. And Shane and I left there, and we just kind of looked at each other because he said what we need to hear to keep us going. That man did not ever realize the effect his words had, but it helped me put one more foot in front of another. Our words and our deeds can have such an effect on people. A small act for one of us, but it can be a reminder, somebody cares. If somebody cares, God cares. We have wisdom and faith and so many other gifts that can be brought out. And you think about Moses, Samuel, Saul, Jacob for that matter, Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. All these men were called, Paul the disciples. All these men should not have been able to do what they did. You look at them on paper, they should not have been able to do what they did. Moses was a sheep herder. He'd been raised in Egypt, but he shouldn't have been able to do it. How God used him. God gave him what he needed through a spiritual gift, more than one. And these different people I just mentioned, were they all identical in their abilities? No. They were all different, and they should be. And look around the people in your life, and the Christians in your lives, are we identical? No, we share faith and a common goal, but we all have spiritual gifts. Like right now, we're blessed to have ladies working with our children. Fondale, Darlene, Lisa, Lee in the nursery, people that have helped out in the past, Diane, Deb, so many people that they have a talent for that. God's given them that ability to work with our children. Any of you that have kids in the school system now, not everybody's got that. And these ladies have made impressions with these children. Good impressions. How hard is that? We have a board that has been blessed with wisdom. We have a really good board that cares about the welfare of this church. And I'm not just saying that, but it's true. They do. They have been blessed with that. There have been times that I have texted prayers for you. I have called you and prayed with you. Those prayers aren't mine. Those words are not mine. A couple years ago, I could not do that. And that's God's glory. It's a God thing. I could not do that. I don't know if there's a spiritual gift for prayer, but the words I say, the words I type, I could not do on my own. These messages they're inspired through things I see and I'm made aware of that I did not notice. How many different types of gifts are there out there? There's an article I read by a pastor named Ray Pritchard, and he kind of organized them. He used New Testament writings to help organize them. In service, there's mercy and giving and helps in service. In leadership and faith and discernment, wisdom and knowledge and evangelism, teaching, pastoring and exhortation, foundation, apostleship, prophecy, tongues, interpretation, miracles, and healing. Service doesn't have to be a ministry. You don't have to get up here. It might be taking up blankets for a homeless shelter. It might be helping someone that something's broke. Showing mercy, it might be giving someone extra time to pay something off. It could be any number of things. Leadership, there's got to be a camp director. That somebody to help kind of call where everything's at. Someone to help keep things in order. Faith, it will get better. I know it will. Wisdom, we had an opportunity. There was a potential that we could have had a building in Donald's back in the fall. And I called and I asked Thomas to go down there and take a look at it. And he used his wisdom to help show this has got a lot of work to use with it. Thomas has a lot of wisdom through his years. And he uses that. He's used that for our benefit more times than probably most of us realize. Knowledge and evangelism. Evangelism, many people get the sweat-soaked shirt, holding up a Bible. It can be, just tell me what's wrong. You don't seem right today. And then if you get the opportunity, the Holy Spirit does the rest. As far as teaching the basics. You don't have to know everything about Bible. You really don't have to know much. You just know, pray. You need to take Jesus into your heart. And it may start by, let me show you how to tie this fishing line. Or here, let me show you how to aim this rifle. Let me show you how to fry something without burning it. That's really what teaching is. Then it opens things up for other stuff. and the foundation. The apostleship, the prophecy, the tongues. I've never witnessed anyone talking in tongues, but I have witnessed people that I think have premonitions. People that have dreams that I think have meaning to them. God has spoke to people in dreams and visions. In the book of Joel, it says he will keep doing that to the end days. As far as healing, there were two church members that were here, Jim and Allison. Jim was diagnosed, I think, with cancer. They went to do surgery. There was just one problem. Cancer wasn't there anymore. Personally, I have seen a man with a toe tag on his toe start breathing again after two doctors had declared him dead. And they were about to put him in a body bag. And I think that man was dead. That man walked out of the hospital 2 weeks later. That's a hand of God. Now, Paul starts talking about the body and comparing the human body to the spiritual body, the church. And he makes the point the body is not one member, it's many. And each one has a part. And you can't have one without the other. And God, if you look at the world, God made this world with everything interdependent on it. The plant grows, but it grows from sun and water and good soil. The bee has to carry what's from the plant, from plant to plant. So crops, food that animals eat, we eat them. Everything's dependent on each other. Trees, they take in waste gas. They give off oxygen. In our own bodies, each piece of the body gives and takes to keep the body in working order. And our church is called the body of Christ for a reason. It's meant to be made up of people with different spiritual gifts, but all serving God in a united cause. The maintaining and the growth of the church or the Christian church in ways that are pleasing to God. And just a word about growth. There can be good growth and there can be bad growth. And comparing it to the body, good growth, children growing, sickness is healing. And that kind of growth is good for a church. We want that. Bad growth would be kind of like a tumor. A tumor grows at an accelerated rate, faster than any other part of the body, and it actually feeds off the body to get this growth. And sometimes a church can grow too fast, and they forget why they're there. You know, I've watched some of the services from the mega churches. Now, I love Andy Stanley. I like John Gray to watch them. They're amazing speakers. And it's not just them, but a lot of these churches are really polished. Everything's produced really well. All the right people are there. Or are they? Is God there? Is God there in those churches? I pray for our growth, like I hope you do or will start doing. I want our church body to grow in ways that are pleasing and right in God's eyes. I'd rather have visitors leaving here saying, "We felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in that building and in those people." Then we really like the espresso bar and the LED display, even though I would love an LED display and I like espresso. We want people to talk about the quality of the service more so than the booming music or the light show. And Paul goes on to talk, if all of us were Indian chiefs or did the same thing, what kind of mess would we be in? There are a lot of members, one body, for that overall cause of serving Jesus Christ. I can't tell a hand, I don't need you. And you can tell from these verses that everybody plays a part in the body of Jesus, the church. You might be sitting there saying, well, what do I play? May not be aware of the gifts that you have. In discovering your spiritual gifts, you can clarify more than just what you can do, but you can also clarify God's will for you. And there are times I still struggle with this, that I pray, God, use me and work through me. But it's not clear what I'm supposed to do. And I think a lot of us struggle with that, trying to find God's purpose for us. And it's like you have a set of tools hidden, and He wants you to fix the dishwasher, but you don't have any tools, or you don't think you do. That's kind of what the spiritual gifts are. They're abilities to help you do what you're supposed to do. As you discover them and begin to use them, you're fulfilling God's will for you. God will never call you to a position without first giving you the gifts. You need to be successful in that position. God prepares the called. He does. I had to keep telling myself that a whole lot. I still have to tell myself that some. That He don't call the prepared as much as He prepares the called. Knowing your spiritual gifts will help you make wise decisions. You can benefit the whole church. And the church is a body. Christ is a head, but we are the joints, the ligaments, the muscles. And each of us, when each of us do what we're supposed to do in God's eyes using those gifts, the church grows. And it's God's plan for church growth. Each member using his spiritual gifts to build up the body. And then Paul talks about how sometimes we have those positions that they aren't real glamorous. And sometimes people think that they are a little weaker or they're not as necessary as other parts. Liver is not glamorous. However, I really, really, really like my liver. Without it, you would be dead in a matter of hours or days. When you see an organization, there are a lot of people that you don't see that make that happen. I think during World War II, there was a figure. For every frontline soldier, there were 11 people doing different jobs to equip and make sure that soldier had what they needed. And I think that these people are doing what they do for God and other people, and they have no intention of ever getting it mentioned, but the value of what they do isn't decreased because it's not advertised. Pastor is usually the most visible part of the church to most people. But you wouldn't see me well if Suzanne, our treasurer, didn't pay the power bill. You wouldn't want to see me if Lisa didn't coordinate my clothes for me, because I dress like I would out of lost and found. You wouldn't want to be here if Sharon didn't give of her time every week to clean and maintain the church. I got to brag on you. And she does that out of her heart. These ladies that work in this church, work back here with the kids, they do it because it is on their heart to do. And they enjoy doing it. And they're a part that we recognize our volunteers usually every November, but they play a role every week. The decisions that are made on behalf of this church come from board members, that they give up their time to meet and make decisions. And they've been up here, like for the Halloween festival, we were up here one night eating pizza and stickering Rice Krispie treats. We have fixed stuff up. We fixed up a float for the Christmas parade. All these kind of things. And these are people that, you might have saw me and the kids up on that float, but there were a lot of people that made that happen. And those people, they're not quite as visible, but they're no less important. The gift that God may give you, it may be you're good with numbers. It may be that you're good at sound and picking out music. It may be that, I don't know, it's really endless with what God could use you for. And just like Paul was saying, it's no less important whether you're up here, hot air, or you're back in the back somewhere. And finally, Paul says there should be no division in the body so that the members may have the same care for one another. One suffers, we all suffer. one rejoices, we all rejoice with it. You might be unaware of the gifts you've been given. Life's pushed these back into a dark closet in your soul. Maybe you've been told no. You thought about it, prayed about it, but you might have been told no, you can't do it. Why would you think you could do something like that? How many singers have been quieted by those words? How many hands have been taken off musical instruments because of those words? How many potential people that could have been saved hadn't been? Doesn't matter who tells you that. Who knows what's better inside of you? Somebody who may have a motive of jealousy, insecurity, or the God that made you. Who can tell you what is right for you to do? How do you find and use these gifts? You read. Take out your Bible. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. All of those are chapters talking about spiritual gifts. They're written from Peter and Paul, so two very unique perspectives. They were kind of different sides of the spectrum, but they had some things in common. Spiritual gifts, one of them. I don't ask you to take my word for it. Go back to the Bible and you can read it yourself. Ask God to show you what spiritual gifts He's given you. You might pray, open my eyes and show me where I fit into this body. And you can ask. A good friend, a good family member, someone who's going to be unbiased. Like I know, if I went to my other half and said, "Dear, I want to be a singer," she would unabashedly tell me no, because that's not really my gift. And she'd be very fair about it. But there may be people that have observed you for years that have thought, "This person will be wonderful in children's church. This person will be great at a Bible study. You know, this person worked with Meals on Wheels. They have a way with older people." And just ask. And just, you know, be prepared. You may not get the feedback that you're looking for, but it could lead you to where you need to be at. When the church body is healthy, we hurt when one of our people hurt. And we rejoice when our people rejoice. And as we get ready to go to prayer, you might be conflicted. And you might be thinking, "I don't know if I want to get involved with church anymore. I may just be very happy just attending." That's fine. Your uses of your spiritual gifts go beyond Genesis Church. I just ask that when we go to prayer, you ask God to open your eyes and tell you where you fit in that. There's a whole suffering world out there. There are people that are lost. There are people that need whatever it is. And if you're willing, God will open your eyes. He will help you unwrap those gifts, and He'll put you where He wants you at. And if that's at this church, that is wonderful. We can always use more people to help. But if you're led to do something else, as long as it's for God, it's the right thing for you. Whether it might be helping a friend at work that is really struggling, whether it might be helping with maybe an after-school reading program, those gifts, they will spread, and God will work through them. But we have to get in touch with Him. We have to come to Him and ask. If we're not aware of them, we have to ask for them. And even those that, if you do have spiritual gifts, we need continual guidance. I mean, I pray a lot of times, give me the words to say and the courage to say them. Use me and work through me and show me. And that's almost every day. But these gifts, you have them. Some of you recognize them, some of you don't. Some of them are unwrapped, some of them are still wrapped up waiting to be used. Pray for God to use them. Open them up, work through you and use them. If I can get everybody to stand, we'll go to the Lord in prayer, then the altars will be open. Heavenly Father, we come to You in prayer. Father, Every person in this room has an ability, a gift, multiple gifts, Father, that you can work through, that we can use for you. Father, we take up the offering and we give it to you, but what a bigger offering it would be if we use these gifts in your service. For whatever that is, if it's here at Genesis, that is fine. If it is out in this community, if it's with someone that you that these people may know, Father, you know your plans for them. We just ask that you help them to open their eyes and realize the gifts they've been given. And Father, we just ask that you will work through us to help us use our gifts for your glory, your credit, for your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The altars are open.